dancing on the bar. Stomp your feet, start clapping. Got a real good feeling. Something bad about to happen.
Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Here's Jessica Blaylock, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, and Blythe Rumleys.
We do have a great show tonight. We've got Josh Scobee coming up. Lauren, you and I had a chance to catch up with him earlier today, and it was fantastic.
It was hilarious, and there's no better place to catch up with Josh Scobee than on the golf course. So we went straight to the source. We went to the driving range. We barely got hit by any balls, and we knocked it out of the park, I think.
That's good. That's impressive. Yeah, if you want to track down Josh Scobee, just check out local golf courses. That's pretty much where he's going to be. But Blythe, I know for you, you're a huge fan of Josh Scobee. You've got kind of a cool story of the first time you met him, actually.
Yeah, the first time I met him, I had just started guysgirl.com. This is the website that I run on the side. And what happened was is that I got some on-the-field passes, and I walked over. My friend was going to introduce the two of us, and he, before I could even put my hand out and say my name, he looked right at me. He was like, wait. He was like, you're a guys girl. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's me. You totally recognize me. How does this happen?
By the way, you're blushing now, first of all. Second of all, he actually asked Jessica and I today, he was like, is it Blythe or Blythe? Is it
Blythe? Yeah, he wanted to make sure that he had it correct.
Yeah, so just to add to your infatuation with young Mr. Scobee, he knows your name.
Yeah,
sort of.
He knows who you are. But yeah, we're going to catch up and talk to Josh about special teams and really getting to know him off the field. You know, one of the goals we've kind of had with this show is to incorporate a teaching element to it. And ladies, I think offense and defense are kind of basic to understand. Obviously, the offense tries to further the ball and score points. The defense tries to prevent offense from scoring. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. But when it comes to special teams, I think that there are a little bit more questions, because there is more to special teams, Lauren, than just punting and kickoffs and even field goals. And that's one thing we got to talk to Scobee about. We also learned a little bit about what Scobee likes as far as television and music and so forth. Now, we're going to get to all that. But again, a football 101 with Josh Scobee is coming up. That's a very important part of our radio show. And that's a very important part of something that the Jaguar Women's Association is pushing. And to discuss that right now is Michaela Bradley, the lovely wife of Gus Bradley. We absolutely adore Michaela, and we're so glad that she gets to spend a few minutes with us. Michaela, thanks so much for coming on. We're so excited to talk about this Women's Association Football 101.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your guys' show, and I always appreciate the nice, warm welcome, that's for sure.
Well, we enjoy having you on. All right, so give us a little bit of info and background. What is this Football 101 that's coming up for women on Thursday, October 16th?
Well, you know what? We're really excited. This is our second annual Football 101 for our purpose and our cause. We're presenting it from the Jaguars Women's Association along with PRI Productions. We are presenting the educational X's and O's, but really most importantly, I think, not only the X's and O's, but the purpose of why we're doing it is for the breast cancer awareness. And this year we've chosen the recipient of the Hill Breast Center. So we're really excited to be pairing up with them as well. And I think for women to come out and enjoy a great night of learning, but having a great time with their girlfriends with the cocktails and the silent auction. And it's really a fun atmosphere. We've got some things in store this year that weren't there last year. So I really encourage people to come out and take part in the event. And I think they'll walk away with a pretty darn good feeling and have a great time.
And Michaela, I'm really excited this year to be a part of it. What?
Yay!
Do you think? Yay, he's right. I got to talk to Michaela last night, and we shared our mutual hatred for shopping, which is always fantastic.
What?
When women can bond over that. But what would you say for a woman who's interested in coming? What does she need to do? What does she need to wear? Kind of give her an idea of what she can expect.
I say whatever, you know, come out, and we've got a T-shirt for you, but come out in a car. It's very casual. It really is. I mean, if you want to throw on that cute little dress, go for it. But I think if that's what you're comfortable in, wear whatever works best for you. And it's a very laid-back, fun setting. And I think just be ready for a great time.
Now, Michaela, you are a wife of a head coach. And putting on the Football 101 again, is there anything honestly left that you need to learn in the football realm?
You know what, to any of the listeners and to anybody that knows me, I guess I could say I probably should be front and center with my notebook and my pen, because I probably am the last person that I will ask us a few things and he'll look at me like I have 17 heads. But, you know, I learn every day. And now that we have a son playing at the high school level, you just continue to learn. And I think there's so many things nowadays that have changed. And, you know, with the league and the rules and regulations, I think it's always a learning process. And for women to be able to learn more, to sit either in the stadium on Sundays or sit next to their spouse, significant other, or friends on a game day and watch it from wherever it may be, you can actually take away something from Thursday night of next week and say, you know what, I remember them talking about that scheme. And it's awesome. It's fun to learn. There's always room to learn.
Hi, Michaela. This is Blythe.
Hi, Blythe.
I was at your event last year for the Football 101, and it was a ton of fun. How is last year's event different from this year?
Well, you know, the purpose, obviously, is to promote the breast cancer awareness support in the community and choosing the Hill Breast Center. But importantly, we're really excited to have the presenting sponsor, PRI, with us on board that is able to amp it up to another level. And just the collective teamwork of our women's organization that learned about it last year but maybe didn't have an opportunity to participate from all those different angles, I think it's just going to be bigger and better than what we brought last year.
Michaela Bradley, wife of Gus Bradley, on to talk the Jaguar Women's Association Football 101 event that's coming up on Thursday, October 16th. It is from 6:30 to 9 o'clock at the West Touchdown Club at Everbank Field. All right, Michaela, how can people purchase tickets?
Well, if they go to the jaguars.com/2014NFL101 website, that's jaguars.com/2014NFL101, they will be able to be linked to or brought to a link that allows them to register online. And in addition to, they will be able to print out a parking pass, because as many know, Garth Brooks is in visiting Jacksonville, so we are going to be sharing some space for parking. So it's nice that they've given us the opportunity to provide the parking pass for those that are attending. But I really, really encourage people to click on it, sign up, come and enjoy the night. And we've got some great educators with Bob Babbitt, Jed Fish, Todd Wash, and our amazing players of Toby Gerhart, Zane Beatles, and Clay Harbor that will be there with their Q&A. So a lot of fun things coming up on October 16th.
And, of course, you'll be there, too.
I'll be there all day getting ready for those ladies. It'll be great.
It will be great. We are all really looking forward to it. And, Michaela, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Well, we look forward to thank you so much for your support, you ladies, and have a great night.
All right, thanks so much, Michaela.
Take care.
That's so funny that the two of you don't like shopping.
The two of us do not like shopping. I mentioned to her, kind of like, well, what do I need to wear if I'm co-emceeing this event? And she said, you can wear jeans. Just wear jeans. It's fine. And I was like, oh, good, because I really don't want to have to go and buy something. And she's like, oh, girl, I hate shopping. And I was like, oh, good, me too.
Just make sure you wear your heels.
Well, see, here's the problem, Donna, with me wearing heels. I wear them every Tuesday. And from Spencer Balls Davis to Jeffrey Prosser, people say, you are a giant. Just like when the four of us were on the video boards. And I feel like I'm an Amazon woman, so I don't want to be towering over the women that come. So we'll see.
Who cares?
Yeah, we'll see. I might let the three of you dress me. How's that?
I'm fine with that. I would choose to dress up. I don't get to dress up for a lot of events in my life. So I see something like this, and I'm like, are you serious? Dress, heels, let's curl the hair. I would probably be way out of place with everyone running around in their jeans and their t-shirt that they get. But, oh, well, what are you gonna do? I'm a girl. I like to dress up on occasion.
I only get to dress up so often now, so I take every chance I can get.
Whenever we see Blythe, she always tells us, I only dress up twice a week because I work from home.
PJs. All right, well, it is the Football 101 for Women that's being put on by the Jaguar Women's Association. All of the proceeds are going to benefit Jacksonville's Hill Breast Center. That is going to also benefit breast cancer research. This is going to be such a great event. Like you heard Michaela mention, she'll be there. Gus Bradley will be there. Offensive coordinator Jed Fish, defensive coordinator Bob Babbage, a couple players, Zane Beatles, Toby Gerhart. You're going to get the opportunity to really learn the X's and O's of the game. Of course, the workshop, it's going to feature a Q&A with the players, the scouts, and the coaches. It's going to include cocktails, appetizers, a silent auction. It sounds like so much fun. It's Thursday, October 16th, 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the West Touchdown Club at Everbank Field. Tickets are currently on sale. If you are interested, please visit jaguars.com/2014NFL101. That's jaguars.com/2014NFL101. When we do return, we're going to check in with Josh Scobie, speaking of a football 101. Have you ever had any questions about special teams? Well, hopefully one of the best kickers in the game, Josh Scobie, is going to answer those questions for you. Also coming up later, we are going to get to know Josh Scobie a little bit better off the field. Lauren, I cannot wait to hear that interview. There was a lot of laughter today with Scobie, even in the football 101.
I think it starts and ends with laughter with Josh. He's just such an enjoyable, relaxed human being. And for people like us running around like crazy, trying to get a bunch of things done in a day, it's so fun to just spend a few minutes kind of laughing with him and really enjoying the presence of someone who absolutely loves what he does.
I mean, when you get a chance to quote movies during an interview with a player when you're breaking down the position that he plays and so forth, that's a good interview.
Was that the Einhorn and Finkel that you guys
It might be a little bit of Ace Ventura, but we'll just have to see what comes up.
Well, and Dan Marino's son was out there, so how
do you not bring up Ace Ventura for crying out loud? We just want to thank real quick Josh Scobie for spending some time with us today. That's coming up next. Also want to thank Underwood Jewelers. They are our sponsor. They help bring Helmets and Heels to you every Tuesday night. Josh Scobie, when we do return, that's coming up next. You're listening to 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. Lauren Brooks, Donna Murphy, Blythe Brumley, Jessica Blaylock down at Everbank Field.
Sounds like you're singing.
Am I?
A little bit. I kind of like it.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. We're down at Everbank Field.
No.
Gosh, that's awful. Let's please never do that again.
I don't like it.
You know what? Let's just drop that and get to something good. Josh Scobie. Josh Scobie has attempted 265 field goals throughout the course of his career. He has made 215 of those, hitting 81%, his longest field goal, 59 yards. Blythe, you know all about that one. You were at that Colts game.
My favorite moment as a Jaguar fan.
That was an exciting moment for you. We actually talked to Josh Scobie about that. But first, let's get his feedback on just special teams as a whole. What really encompasses special teams? You know, it is more than just punting. It is more than just kicking field goals. It is more than just kickoffs. If you've ever had any questions about special teams, hopefully Josh Scobie is going to answer them for you in our Football 101.
Now, Football 101 with Jessica Blaylock on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Joined by kicker Josh Scobie. Josh, it's perfect time to talk to you. You scored all of the Jaguars' points this past Sunday against the Steelers. Let's talk about special teams. First off, kicker, punter, long snapper, those seem pretty self-explanatory, but just break down really quickly the responsibilities of each one.
Well, first, kicker, obviously I'm an expert on the subject, but my job personally could be different from someone that just kicks field goals, but I kick extra points, field goals, and kickoffs. So my responsibilities are pretty self-explanatory for games, but people expect that in practice kickers just kick the whole time. That's all we do is just kick for 2 hours straight, but in all honesty, we can't. It's something that, you know, your legs are going to get tired, so I probably kick somewhere between 40 and 50 balls in a practice and maybe around 90 to 100 during a game. And like you said, if I'm trying to explain this to someone that might not know much about kicking, I'm trying to kick the ball between those yellow goalposts there. And anytime it goes on the outside of them, I'm not very happy.
As far as punting, kickoffs, things like that, how would you explain to someone what directional punting and things of that nature are?
Well, with a punter, kicking the ball straight down the middle every time doesn't help out your coverage team a whole lot. So some teams do that. They just let their punter kick it as far as he can and as high as he can. But we directionally punt. And what that does is cut off a lot of the field for the return team. So our punter will angle his body either to the left or to the right. And most of the time it's based on the wind, and just try to kick the ball with the wind and let it ride towards the sideline. And it limits the amount of space that the returner has. And therefore, we can dictate what kind of coverage that we're in.
Would you say that the most important function of special teams is really controlling field position, whether it's limiting how far an opposing offense can set up or getting our offense as far as they can possibly go?
Yeah, a lot of times the game is won because of the field position battle, and you can control that by kickoffs with either having touchbacks where they start at the 20 every time, or your coverage team tackling the other team inside the 20 a lot, and also with punting, with downing the ball inside the 10, inside the 20-yard line. And a lot of games come down to field position because, obviously, the longer you have to go on offense, the less likely you are to get points. And so that's why, you know, we take pride in that, Brian Anger and myself do, and trying to limit the amount of returns and the amount of space the other returners have.
Why is there a different guy in charge of kickoffs versus punts versus field goals?
Kicking and punting are two completely different motions. Punting is more of a linear thing. It's straight up and down. Kicking is more of a 45-degree angle, so you're using different muscles. And, I mean, I've always had a strong leg as a kicker, but I punted in high school, but I wasn't very good at it. And I can punt now, but it looks like a middle schooler compared to, you know, my ability as a kicker. And the same goes for Brian Anger. He's, you know, probably has the strongest leg in the NFL as a punter. But as a kicker, I mean, he can hit 50-yard field goal, but I can hit a 50-yard field goal left-footed. It's not that hard of a thing to do. So the jobs aren't always the exact same. There are some guys in the NFL that kick off and punt, but there's not a single guy that that kicks off, punts, and kicks field goals.
How good of chemistry do you need to have, you know, with your long snapper, with every guy that's on special teams when you're trying to get a kickoff?
Long snapper obviously starts with them because we're expecting them to be the most accurate person on the team when it comes to their job. And it really gets noticed if there's a bad snap. The best thing that can be said about a long snapper is nothing, that no one ever noticed him. And we have a really good one in Carson Tinker. This is his second year. He's extremely accurate. He does a great job with field goals and punts. And field goals, his job is to snap the ball, and his goal is to have the laces, whenever the holder catches the ball, the laces be facing the field goal. And so we call that laces out. And I don't know if anyone's ever seen, what do you call it?
Ace Ventura.
But that was the reason Dan Marino was kidnapped by Lois Einhorn. Just a little humor there. But yeah, long snapper is a very important position. And my coach in college used to say it's the number one most important position on the team. I always laughed at him, and that's probably why he's not a head coach anymore. But he's right. I mean, you can have a bad snap and that can be a turnover and negatively affect the game for your team. But luckily we have a really good long snapper.
And special teams is more than just kicking. Again, field position is huge. What's a gunner and what are his responsibilities?
Gunner is someone on the punt team who's on the far outside, so it kind of looks like they're lined up as a receiver. And their job is to be the first person down the field to try and either tackle the punt returner or to down the ball if the ball bounces in or, you know, near the goal line. So those are typically the fastest, most athletic guys we have on special teams to go down there. And they have an important job because sometimes the ball on a punt can take a bad bounce and be heading straight towards the goal line, and they can be the only one that has a chance to save it from going in the end zone for a touchback.
How do you determine who's the best guy to return a punt and a kickoff, and why sometimes is that guy different as well?
It's a different skill set sometimes. I mean, a lot of teams use the same guys, but sometimes that player on one team might not be as good at punt returning as he is kickoff returning. Punt returner has to be fearless because they're looking straight up in the air while the ball's coming down, and they have 11 guys running straight at them. And that's got to be something that, you know, is extremely terrifying and something I will never, ever want to do. But for kickoffs, and you're running behind a wedge, so it's, in my opinion, it's not as dangerous, but guys are still flying down there, and you have to be a special breed, a special type of guy to want to do that.
Finally, we'll just wrap up with this one. You've had so many exciting kicks throughout the course of your career, and so many of those coming against the Colts, obviously a huge rival in the division. What's the most exciting kick that you've ever had in your life?
That's an easy one. In 2010, when we played the Colts at home, the 59-yarder that I hit the last play of the game to beat them, that was, you know, the single best kick of my life. And that was my only field goal of the game. So normally you know, I would say my better games or the best games in my career were multiple field goal games, but that was my only field goal attempt that game. I just had extra points other than that. And I just remember not being able to sleep that entire night and still being on cloud nine that entire week, because it just so happened that that week I was hosting three charity events, and the Meals on Wheels Aging True was one of them. And it was like I was, you know, king of the world for a week. And, you know, hopefully something like that comes up again where I get another opportunity for a long game winner. But if it doesn't, then I'll still have, you know, that memory to hold with me forever.
You're always king of the world when it comes to Jaguar fans.
Well, thank you very much. That's quite the company to be in.
All right. Thanks so much, Josh.
All right. Appreciate it.
I cannot tell you how many 30 seconds of laughter I had to edit out of that interview. I think the actual time of the interview was like over 10 minutes. But then once I edited all of my laughing out, I think my favorite part is when he was describing, you know, those yellow posts. I want to try and kick the ball through that. If so, I'm happy. If it goes outside of them, I'm not really happy. But I mean, I think a lot of interesting things from that discussion with Josh, you know, whether you've always wondered, okay, well, why can't the same guy be responsible for punts and kicking field goals and being responsible for kickoffs? And as you heard Josh explain, it's a completely different skill set. Blythe, was there anything that really stuck out to you that Josh talked about?
I never knew that there was a different kicker for the extra points and for the field goals. I kind of thought that that was among the same kind of skill set, but I guess not. And then also the note that he made about the long snapper, that, you know, the best thing you'll ever know is if you never hear about him. So I thought that was really interesting.
I love too when he was talking about his former coach, mm-hmm. thought the long snapper was the most important position, and maybe that's why he's not a head coach anymore. Donna, I would have always thought it was probably, you know, the quarterback, or maybe on a really good defense, your middle linebacker or defensive end, but no, we learned something new. We learned that the long snapper is the most important player.
Hey, props to you, Carson Tinkerman.
Props to you.
That might be the most love Carson Tinker's ever gotten on a radio show.
Or even on a Jaguar program.
He did kind of write a book, and that was really important.
Yeah, that's true. But Blythe, hey, I know that 59-yard field goal that Scobie talked about. What an incredible moment for him. And how cool it was that it worked out that week with everything else that was going on. Incredible story there. But you were in the crowd for that game. What was that moment like for you? I mean, we just heard how amazing it was for Josh. I can't imagine that the fans were probably going just as nuts too.
It was incredible. I mean, I've seen playoff wins. 2007 obviously was the last one that the Jaguars have won, but being in the stadium, it was sold out, it was a night game, and when he hit that kick, I was lined up directly with the field goal. So I saw it. I wasn't sure if it went between the uprights, but whenever I saw that it had the length on it, immediately just you could see the whole crowd burst into tears, but just screams and cheering. And
you were in tears.
Well, my brother like ran over and he picked me up, and we're number one.
That's Josh Scobie. He knows me. He knows who I am.
So hard at the drumline that night. Like it was one of the best wins of my life.
That's awesome, ladies. I have a question. Of the four of us, who would be the gunner, do you think, named out of our group? That's the most fearless person out of the four of us. Oh, God,
no, the gunner is the one that is first out and goes and tackles him. So
right.
Not the fearless one.
Yeah, you're right. Punt return is the fearless one. But the gunner does still have to be the fastest.
Yeah, I think he did say, though, that the gunner does have to be a little crazy because you've got to be the first one back
on
coverage.
I'm not very fast.
All right, so somebody has to be fast.
I'm going to go
has
you.
To be accurate.
I'd say you're the gunner.
I'm the gunner. All right, I'll sprint down.
No,
and
you catch punts. You catch punts. I'll be a gunner. I'm fine
not very
with that.
Fast. Have any of y'all ever tried long snapping, by the way?
No.
No.
Have
okay.
I ever tried kicking a field goal?
No.
Oh.
It's tough.
I don't want to embarrass myself. I'll save that humiliation for later on in life.
I went to the women's football clinic a couple of years ago and tried both of those things. And the long snapping couldn't do it for the life of me. Could not even get it remotely close. And the kicking the field goals, I walked up a little bit cocky because I played soccer my whole life. I almost hit the guy where the sun don't shine because I apparently kick the ball straight on and don't get any lift to it. And he, after the first one, was like, all right, you're not kicking anymore.
Which we now know that you do not kick it straight on.
Exactly. Look how much we learned.
But I really would think that it would be difficult. I mean, we see fans
during halftime try and catch, simulated kickoffs or punts or whatever, and we see where, the kick pass or whatever
punt,
it is.
Punt,
yeah.
Pass, kick.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't look easy. I mean, it really does look difficult, and you've got to have such concentration, I think, especially on a punt. If they're trying to directionally kick or something like that, you've got to have probably such incredible concentration to be able to catch that football. And then after you catch it, try and gain yards. I mean, because like we talked about, really the main thing with special teams is you want to dictate field position as much as possible, meaning you want to put your offense as close to the end zone so that they don't have to drive the length of the field, and you want to push another team's offense back as far as it can go to help your defense out. So you talk about really needing all three units to work, offense, defense, and special teams. Yeah, you want to do what you can to put yourself in as good of field position as possible.
Well, special teams is, I think, almost even more important for a team like the Jags, who aren't scoring as many points offensively right now as other teams. I mean, like Scobie said, Brian Anger might have the best leg in the league. You hear the commentators every week talk about how good, that's for the away games. Obviously, I don't get to hear the commentators when I'm in the stands, which, by the way, I've been watching the games in the Clevelander deck. It is fantastic. For anyone who has not been up there, it is free, it is awesome, and I love it. But anyway, the commentators will talk about how much of a difference Brian Anger actually makes. And you're like, well, he wasn't worth maybe the third-round pick, but at least we are, pinning them back.
Are we still calling him a weapon?
Absolutely.
Is that
what? I love that shirt that he wore, too. Brian Anger with the punters or people, too.
People, too. Yeah.
I love that, too. Hey, speaking of football 101s, if there's any questions that you didn't have answered, a great place to go and ask them is the Jaguar Women's Association Football 101. That is going to be on Thursday, October 16th, starts at 6:30 p.m., runs till 9 o'clock at the West Touchdown Club. It's a great event, a girls' night out for an interactive workshop. It's really designed to teach the technical side of the game, that X's and O's aspect. The workshop is going to feature a Q&A with current players that includes guys like Zane Beatles, Toby Gerhart. Scouts are going to be there, coaches including head coach Gus Bradley, offensive coordinator Jed Fish, defensive coordinator Bob Babich, and a couple of others. There's going to be cocktails, appetizers, a silent auction, a raffle. What else do you need? Thursday, October 16th, 6:30 to 9 p.m., you can buy your tickets on jaguars.com /2014NFL101. Is that a backslash or a forward slash? I still haven't figured that out.
You know what I do?
Slash.
Slash.
Slash. Okay, jaguars.com /2014NFL101. If the slash doesn't work, just throw a backslash in there. You're going to figure out how to get to the tickets. All the proceeds are going to benefit Jacksonville's Hill Breast Center. It's an amazing night for an amazing cause, so be sure that you buy your tickets today. All right, when we do return, Josh Scobie off the field. You thought the interview on special teams was good, Lauren? We've got a good one coming up with Josh Scobie off the field. You're going to set that up next on Helmets and Heels. This is 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. It is another fabulous Tuesday night. Jessica Blaylock, Donna Murphy, Blythe Brumleave, and Lauren Brooks alongside you. And you did just hear from the one and only Josh Scobie, number 10. And we, of course, got to talk to him about what makes a kicker different than a punter. But we also talked to him about some other interesting things. And one of my favorite parts of the interview with Scobie, and I'm not quite sure exactly if people will get to hear it, is when I said, all right, let's do the lightning round. And I think, to be funny, on purpose, he was silent for about 30 seconds. Which doesn't exactly make for good radio. But we did get to catch up with Josh Scobie today, and like I said, fittingly on the golf course. And here is my interview with Josh Scobie to get to know him off the field.
When the game ends, life begins. Let's get personal with Lauren Brooks.
I'll ask 21 questions, and they all about...
We're here with Josh Scobie on the golf course, as a matter of fact, his favorite place away from the football field. And Josh, we're going to kick off the interview with you talking about impersonations. Let's hear one. You said you're really good at it.
Well, folks, I'm here with J.P. Shadrick, the voice of the Jaguars. Don't know where Tony Baselli is. He's probably eating something somewhere.
All right, well, that's certainly one way to kick it off. All right, we are here for the Meals on Wheels golf tournament. Tell us a little bit about your part in this.
Yeah, I've been involved with Aging True and Meals on Wheels for, this will be my fifth year now, and it's something that's special to me because what they do is raise money that provides food for elderly that can't get out and, you know, either go to a grocery store, go to a restaurant and get food for themselves. So the reason why that's special to me is because when I was growing up, my dad passed away from cancer when I was 12. And when he was sick and when he passed away, we had an elderly woman who, she was probably 75, that would come to our house once a week and give us a bunch of groceries because we were not well off. And, you know, my parents were spending all the money on treatment and travel to try and, you know, get the treatment necessary for my dad. And so she would come by once a week and drop off probably a couple hundred dollars worth of groceries because we had four kids in our family and my oldest sister had a newborn. So it was a tough time for us. And, you know, when I was approached to be able to be involved with Meals on Wheels, it was a no-brainer for me, and, you know, something that I can somehow give back to the elderly.
That's wonderful. So it certainly has affected your personal life, and then you want to reach out and give back. Let's talk a little bit more about golf. Who would be the one person you'd want to play a round of golf with if you haven't already?
It would have to be Tiger Woods. I've always been a big Tiger Woods fan. Obviously, with all the stuff that he's been through the last few years, you know, it kind of made me not much of a fan of his off the course, but I would still love to play a round of golf with him.
Would you wear red?
I would probably wear the exact same thing he wears on Sunday just to make him mad.
I like it. All right, how many times have you attempted to hit a football with a golf club?
Quite a few, actually. It's something that you probably shouldn't try it a lot because there's a lot of recoil on the football. So you hit it, the football's, you know, leather and rubber. So when you hit it, you get a lot of recoil. And I almost hit myself in the shin doing that, so I stopped.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
You play fantasy golf, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah.
What's the highest place you've ever earned?
This is a sore subject because we've been doing this for 6 years now. And we always have the same group of guys. It's always a bunch of kickers and punters in the NFL. And the same guy has won every single year. And I've gotten second almost every time. He's the punter for the Titans who were playing this week, Brett Kern.
What's the strangest thing you've ever seen on a golf course?
The strangest thing I've ever seen? Let's see. I've seen some people wear things that are borderline inappropriate anywhere in this world, but on a golf course, bad enough. But I'd say the strangest thing I saw was a 92-year-old man hit a hole-in-one. It was 80-yard par 3. He's, you know, obviously playing from the front tees and hit a hole-in-one. It was first one of his life, so that was pretty cool.
All right, apart from Everbank Field, what is your favorite stadium?
My favorite one to play at besides Everbank would be Lambeau, just because of the tradition, the history they have there. It's just a cool atmosphere. The stadium is amazing, and you know, to be able to play somewhere where a lot of, you know, greats have played is really fun.
Have you ever attempted the Lambeau leap?
I'd probably get spit back out like a surfer that gets knocked off a wave, but you know, that's something that they take a lot of pride in their own guys doing, and you've seen guys, you know, over the years that have attempted that, and they just push them right back.
Besides playing golf, what does your off-season training routine include?
Waking up, going straight to the gym, working out. Kicking doesn't normally start until April, but then I go straight to the golf course, so I kind of ruined your question, but that's literally all I do. I wake up 5 days a week. I wake up the other 2 days a week, too, but 5 days a week that I work out, and I go straight to the course.
Good work. All right. Last year, you went as Bane for Halloween. What are the family costume plans this year?
My wife wants my son to be a cowboy, but I can't see myself dressing up as a cowboy. I have some boots that have never been worn. I like country music, but I can't dress up as a cowboy.
Are you going to Garth Brooks?
I'm not. Well, I was talking about that last night, that, you know, he's going to be here, and unfortunately, it'll be a little busy.
Unfortunately. All right, we have a little bit of a lightning round for you as we wrap things up. Favorite home-cooked food?
I like so much. It's unbelievable. My mother-in-law's roast, rice, and gravy.
Favorite actor?
Edward Norton.
Favorite actress?
I don't even know. Favorite actress. Oh, what's her name? Sofia Vergara.
From Modern Family, for people who don't know. Favorite TV show?
The Office, but it's not on anymore.
Favorite cartoon as a kid?
Probably DuckTales.
Favorite movie?
The Departed.
And your favorite musician, we already know, is?
That is, we don't know. We're not talking about my real favorite one, but my other favorite is Maroon 5.
Ah, Adam Levine fan. Yeah. Do you watch The Voice?
No, I don't. I can't watch those shows. They're terrible.
And favorite candy to hand out at Halloween?
Starburst.
Good one. All right, well, thanks, Josh. And one quick message to the fans for the next home game that we have against the Browns.
Well, hopefully we are 1-5 then after this next week, and just, you know, continue to stay with us because we are doing our best to get it right.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Josh. Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
Okay, my two favorite things about that interview. Number one, when you completely shut down his J.P. Shadrick impersonation at the beginning, I thought it was incredible, and you're like, all right, well, that's one way to start the interview. And then, secondly, when you asked if he watched The Voice, and he's just like, no, those shows are terrible. Because I completely agree. I tried so hard last night to watch Dancing with the Stars, I think, for like 10 minutes. And because it was like they were doing all the people's personal stories, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, like why people are dancing and who they're dancing for, and they were really sweet, but like it just got so
bad,
cheesy and out of control. I was like, you can't do this anymore.
They can't dance. Don't do it. You can't dance.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. But it's always so much fun to catch up with Josh Scobie.
It is, and I don't watch any of those shows either, so I really can't comment. But Josh is just, he really is fun-loving, and we almost even ran out of time. I really wanted to ask him more questions about his wife and his son and the fact they have another son on the
way. Yeah, we had already taken him off the driving range for about 20 minutes. He was probably just trying to warm up for his tournament, and we're like, yeah, Josh, is it cool if we talk to you for like half an hour?
And he does it 5 days a week.
Yeah. Well, and I said, we'll do this interview while you do your back thing. He's like, it's going to be a pretty short interview. I was like, I didn't mean just one. You can keep swinging while we do it, but no, he really is though, like, just someone I think who kind of gets it. You know, you heard at the beginning the serious part. Growing up, he had someone that really helped him when he was in need and helped their family provide food. And I think he's someone, one of those football players who gets the fact that they are so blessed to be doing what they're doing. And I don't think he takes it, you know, it for granted in the least. And that's one of the things I love. Yes, he's hilarious also, but it really is someone, just kind of spending time around him, you realize that he does appreciate the team, he appreciates the franchise, he appreciates the fans. You know, he recognizes the fact, like he said, that he's one of the you know, favorite Jaguars. And I think none of that goes to his head. He just seems like a really cool, laid back guy.
And Blythe, you can kind of testify to that, that he's a fan favorite. I mean, I'm sure you see Scobie jerseys
all over the place,
and how crazy people go when he hits a field goal. And the fact that Scobie can literally be taking the field for a 50-plus yard field goal, and you know that there's a good chance that he's going to hit it.
Exactly. If you have a fantasy roster, then you're usually drafting Scobie because you know that he's probably going to have to hit 40- and 50-yard field goals a few times a game.
Can I just say, after that interview, Lauren, I am so happy because when we did the interview with Toby Gerhart, and mm-hmm. we asked him his favorite cartoon as a kid, and he busted out Rugrats, and it made me feel old as dirt, because I'm like, Rugrats, wasn't that on like 10 years ago? But Scobie, just 1 year, you know.
Oh, I remember DuckTales.
Right? Yes. DuckTales, I got the song going in my head. Woo! You know, I'm like, yes, somebody, I get it. I love it.
I have some great interactions with players in the locker room on occasion. And I mean, especially now that I've covered the team for 5 seasons, players that have been here for a while, you just get to know them. You know, whether it's Cecil Shorts and talking to him about the Cavs and the NBA, or whether it's talking.
At first, I thought you meant his Cavs.
Well, maybe on occasion that too. But, you know, you find these connections with players. And I think Scobie, his sense of humor, it's just so dry, but he's always so spot on, and I've always appreciated that about him. But I remember one time he walked into the locker room and he just gave me this look, and I was like, what? And he's like, I'm sorry, it's just still so weird walking into a locker room and seeing a woman sometimes. And he was totally just kidding and giving me a hard time. And so I asked him, I was like, Would it make you more comfortable if I get like a bowl haircut or something like that? Like, what can I do? I can show you pictures from third grade when I totally rocked it. What can I do to make you more comfortable in your own locker room? So we kind of joked back and forth and finally landed on that I should get a mullet. So what do? I go to the costume store and I buy a mullet wig.
No
and
way.
I show up in the locker room the next day wearing the mullet. And he just had such a great sense of humor about it and took a picture with me. And I mean, but that's what you're going to get with a guy like Josh Scobie. I've worked with so many athletes. And so when you come across a player that makes it easy for you, you just tend to appreciate it. And when you come across a player that has a personality outside of football and that you can joke around with, and you know, it's just, it's refreshing. And that's kind of a go-to guy in the locker room when you need a good laugh, when you need a good quote, and
a good mullet.
Yeah, when you need to have a reason to go buy a mullet wig from the costume store, just
and
go find Josh Scobie.
He did nail the JP impersonation.
He did. It was
and
great.
Did. Spot on with where is Tony Vaselli?
He's probably
eating
somewhere.
What was funny was JP was standing there because he had to cover the event, but I didn't quite know how to say that on the recording. So that's why I was like, well, that's one way to kick it off.
Well, and he said, apparently he's got like quite a few impersonations in his pocket because
right.
he said that's one of his specialties. And I'm so glad that you asked him about that because I was standing there and I was like, I just want to spend 5 minutes on all these different impersonations that he does. Maybe we should shoot every week to have a different Scobie impersonation on the show.
I want to hear his Bradley.
Oh, I bet that would be fantastic.
Does he say Jaguars?
I'm sure. You kind of have to.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, I also wanted to ask him to get into a little more of the fashion, like what he's seen on the golf course that people have worn that they shouldn't have been
in just like everyday life. Yeah.
I'd rip on him.
You know what? Okay. Tweet us impersonations that you would want to hear Josh Scobie do, and we'll see how many we can get. You can tweet them to either at Jess Blaylock,
at 1010XL Lauren,
at Football Show,
at Blythe Brum,
or at
Helmets and Heels.
And we'll see how many impersonations we can get Scobie to knock out.
Can we get a Rick Ballew impersonation?
Rick Ballew. Okay, I know everything. Whoever calls in with a Ballew impersonation
is fantastic
also. Please come up with another one for this week because I'm kind of gotten used to those.
I'm terrible at impersonations, so I'm not even going to attempt.
Yeah, I am too. I would just end up embarrassing myself. We'll leave the impersonations to Josh Scobie.